Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 4, we'll be reading verse 16 down to verse 30 tonight. On Sunday nights, we've been going through and preaching and teaching on the teachings of Christ and going all the way back to the first lesson we find in the Gospels when Christ was just 12 years of age, and then we've followed all the way through, and we're following through his life and that which he has taught us. And what a blessing it is to just to focus on the actual teachings of Christ. Now, last week and the last event was a lesson on faith for a nobleman who, through faith, was to believe his words. And that's how we are to believe his words today, just by faith, accepting the Bible as the very words of God. And we believe that it's God that has preserved it for us, and every word in it is from God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. I believe by faith that we have that, and we get to read it and study it and hear it taught and hear it preached. Well, tonight in the very next event in the life of Christ, as he is teaching, it's the beginning of the second year of his public ministry. And he goes back to his hometown, and that's what we have here tonight. So let's go ahead and read this. Go ahead and stand with me if you would. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. The Bible says, "And he," Jesus, "came to Nazareth, for he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill wherein their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as again as we bow before you, we thank you for this, your holy word, opportunity to study it, hear it preached. I pray, God, that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Whole lot here tonight as we look at this next event. Again, this is the beginning of the second year of his public ministry. And he comes to Nazareth and he presents a message from Isaiah to reveal himself to be the Messiah. Now, this is where he did that, and it was in this beginning of the second year. He chose Nazareth because of the Old Testament prophecy being fulfilled. And he read in the book of Isaiah, and let me just read that to you again, Isaiah chapter 61. This is what he read in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, interesting, because he stopped there. And there is a purpose for him stopping there. The purpose was that he was ushering in a dispensation of grace. Now he went on, Isaiah went on, his prophecy said, and this would come after that, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Judgment would come later. But Jesus presenting himself as being the fulfillment of prophecy by reading Isaiah, and then in verse 21 saying, this day is the scriptures fulfilled in your ears. Yeah. See, we understand that grace is part of the DNA of God. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't understand grace. We wouldn't understand mercy. We wouldn't understand, as I even preached on a little bit this morning, agape love. That's not within man's DNA. We have a sinful nature. It only becomes part of man is when man receives God into his own life. Receive Jesus Christ, he comes within, and we have Christ's DNA within us as we yield to the Holy Spirit of God. But Jesus wanted them, as well as us, to know that there was a dispensation of grace. The dispensation of grace, which is also looked at as a church age, actually highlights the grace of God. Again, it's all God is a gracious God. It's part of his DNA. And everything that you know about God, everything we read about God, Old Testament God, his DNA was still that of grace. But he wanted to have a particular dispensation of time where grace was highlighted. And that's the dispensation of time that we're living in today. Everything in past dispensations have led up to this moment when Christ went to his hometown where he was raised and read the prophecy and presented himself as the fulfillment of that prophecy. That's just, once we understand that, once we get a hold of that, can I tell you that that just helps us to understand about more about the day and age that we're living in. Now, Paul would write concerning this to the church at Corinth over in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. Let me read this to you. Again, you can write it down and go back and study it. But in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 21, Paul writing concerning Jesus Christ and his coming, the Bible says, "For he hath made him," God had made him, Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The ultimate act of grace is he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. So Paul's linking this to this grace of God, what has taken place with Jesus coming and what he's done for us, that we not receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, "I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Made crystal clear in this dispensation of grace or the church age. Now, over in the book of Ephesians, we find a little bit more about this. And so put on your thinking caps, and because I think it's going to be a help and a blessing to you when we get through what Christ wanted to teach and what he has for us to learn here tonight, and of course in this New Testament time. In Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says this: "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will," the mystery of his will, as we look back into the very beginning of the creation of man, God has had a will for man. "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." God had a plan for the very beginning through the very end of time. Now, a dispensation is, a definition of that is, a breakdown of time during which man is tested in respect to his obedience to revelations from God. Now, we get to look all the way back into the creation to find what God revealed to Adam, and the test that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. And that very first time period is known as the dispensation of innocence. Man was innocent. He did not have a sin nature. He was created after the likeness and the image of God, but tested as far as his devotion and love for his Creator. He was tested by the one thing that he was not to do: partake of the fruit of the tree. That dispensation of innocence ended with Adam's sin. It went into the second dispensation of time. Now, we understand this because we have the Bible. The second breakdown of time during which man is tested in respect to his obedience to what God fully reveals to him. There was a dispensation of conscience based on human reasoning. But they're no longer innocent. They have a sin nature. How would this affect humanity when they were tested by their own conscience. It ended with the great flood, because there was so much evil on the earth. There was no limit to the evil. It just kept getting worse and worse. And God destroyed man upon the face of the earth, which ended the dispensation of conscience. As we study the Bible then, the dispensation of human government would follow that. Surely that Noah and his descendants would be able to control humanity if they all seen the flood and understood what had taken place. And it was more of a human government, which ended with the Tower of Babel, the judgment of God. That God had promised not to destroy the earth after the flood by water. Now, he will destroy the earth, but it will be by fire at the end time. This led into the next segment of time, the dispensation of promise. Now, God knew, but as we study it, we see how man has responded to each and every one of these dispensations, where they had limited revelation, but the revelation that they did have was what they would be judged by. And so now we have the dispensation of promise, based on the Abrahamic covenant. Surely if man would understand the promises of God, that he would do right, and he would obey the law, whatever that might be, or obey the promises and do right to have received the promises. This dispensation of promise would end with the Egyptian bondage. And then the dispensation of the law of Moses. They would have a law that God would reveal through Moses. And in doing that, they would have insight going all the way back to the beginning of creation. He would now be, man would have the insight of the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Old Testament, that we have it today. They had that understanding. And in the midst of this, they were receiving the prophecies of God through the prophets. So we have the law and the prophets. This ended with the birth of Christ. With the birth of Christ, we have the dispensation of grace. This is what Jesus was presenting. He's presenting to them more of the revelations of God, revealing the prophecies of the Old Testament, the understanding of the prophecies of the Old Testament, the mysteries that they did not have insight into during the law. But now through Christ, we have them. And we have a full revelation. This church age, humanity has more knowledge of who God is, the beginning and the end, than at any other time in human history. We have the full revelation of God to man. We know how the story ends. You would think that would be enough. If we knew how the story ends, then you would think it would help us to live accordingly, knowing the outcome. Now, again, as we understand the different time periods. We understand the different revelations that God has given humanity and their failures of the tests of God in all these dispensations. We have that to look back on and think, let's not make the same mistakes that humanity has made in, throughout the test of time. And so Jesus goes back to where he was raised. And he presented this truth in Nazareth. I love that. Maybe it's just me. Amen. But this day is the scriptures fulfilled in your ears. This dispensation is going to end. It's going to end with the rapture of the church. We know it because it's already been revealed to us. The church age will come to an end. The dispensation of grace as we know it will come to an end. And then there will be a dispensation of kingdom rule. 1,000 years left on this earth of kingdom rule where Christ will sit on the throne and rule. And after that, the end of the kingdom rule will be the great white throne judgment. And time will be no more. No more testings. So we look here and the teachings of Christ as he presented this next dispensation that was prophesied by Isaiah. And now he says, he proclaims he is that Messiah. And he says it's been fulfilled and we are now in this dispensation of grace. You would think that everybody would be shouting hallelujah. Praise God. We have full revelation. We have the Savior here with us, offering us one of the most important things we need in life, grace. And can I tell you at first, look at verse 22, the people at first were amazed and they were rejoicing to a certain extent. For they said, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And you would hope they would say, and we are so blessed that God has raised him here. But that's not what happened. Because then they said, is not this Joseph's son? They allowed Satan to creep into their minds and to blind them to what they had right before their very eyes. Well, it's a lesson learned. We need to learn. Sometimes we get excited about the truth, and then the old devil comes and tries to steal it from us, tries to put a different slant on it. Yeah. Jesus knew their thoughts as he is God. And he said unto them, now again, these are the teachings of Christ. This is what he's trying to get across to them. But not only is he trying to get this across to them, but we are to learn these lessons that he taught while he was here. And we find here, he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb. He knew their minds and he knew their thoughts. Physician, heal thyself. Prove that you know what you're doing, if you will. They would cry similar thoughts when he was hanging on the cross. And then he said, you'll say this, whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, all the things that we've heard that you do and have done, do also here in thy country. Verse 24. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Jesus knew their thoughts, and he told them that they would want him to do more to convince them. But that's not what this age of grace is about. It's not about seeing Jesus. It's not about seeing signs. It's really not. It's not about having what you think you need to believe. It's connected to where the nobleman was. By faith, believe the word. And once you, by faith, believe it, there'll be signs following. They lack faith. They wouldn't just accept his word. They wanted him to prove himself, to show himself more than what he was willing to reveal. They lack faith. In this age of grace, this dispensation of grace, it is all based on faith of humanity. Faith on what God has preserved for us to look to, and that's his word. He gave two illustrations of their unbelief and how that it had impacted Israel in the past. The first was in verse 25 and verse 26. He says, "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. There was widows, if they had enough faith, and they would have cried out to God, that God would have sent them the relief necessary. For their reason for the famine was their unbelief and their sinful lives." But he said, and there was many widows there that if they had the faith, they could have had what Elijah gave to the woman of Zarephath. But unto none of them was Elias or Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. 1 Kings chapter 17, you'll find that story in verse 13 to verse 16. The Gentile woman believed. She did what Elijah told her to do. And God continued to supply her every need, because she had faith. And then he gave the other example, but unto none of them was Elias sent, in verse 27, and many lepers were in Israel. There was a lot of leprosy in Israel in the time of Elisha. So he goes from the example of Elijah to the example of Elisha, and he says, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman, the Syrian, a Gentile. His people didn't have enough faith to believe, but we find that Gentiles, even the Old Testament, had enough faith, and God was able to bless them. So he says, this is the dispensation of grace, and the way that you receive the grace of God is your own belief in what God has given to you to look to. We have everything of the history of humanity to look to. We have God's DNA through it all, what God was looking for from the very beginning. Today, dispensation of grace. What happened to them, I'm afraid, is happening to too many people today. In verse 28, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, because they knew that he was telling them they weren't going to have the blessings of God because they didn't have faith and who he was. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him into the brow of the hill wherein their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Even in this dispensation of grace, when you think that people ought to be more readily ready to receive what God has for us and to live the Christian life that Jesus Christ has presented, they allow evil to fill their hearts instead of receiving Christ. They wanted to murder Christ. They wanted to get him out of the picture, which is anti-Christ, which is the same mentality that's going to fill our world as we head into the rapture. Wow. So in this particular event, what Jesus is teaching them and wanting them to receive from this, understanding the dispensation that we are living in, is don't reject God's grace. The message that we need to receive from the teachings of Christ and this passage of Scripture is don't reject God's grace. Look for it. As we live our Christian lives, one of the most important things for us is what this dispensation is all about: God's grace. He's offering it, first of all, in salvation. It's God's grace. It's our faith, it's through our faith, but it's by God's grace. And so when we have an opportunity to simply look to the Bible and look to the person of Jesus Christ and call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, then we ought to look for the grace of God to be saved. Stop trying to find another way. And grasp the fact that you are saved by grace. You had enough faith to believe the Bible is to be the Word of God. You have enough faith to believe the teachings of Christ. And you, by your own faith, you have called upon the name of the Lord. And by that faith, you have been saved. And once you're saved, it doesn't stop there. We need to continue to seek God's grace. The most important thing we need, the most important thing that God has for us as we go through this dispensation of time is God's grace. It's the love and kindness associated with the presence of God. And it's available to you. If you're saved, then it's available to you in every battle that you'll face, every trial that you'll experience, every valley, every mountaintop. Yeah, we need grace, the grace of God, even when things are going good. Stay on the right course. God's grace. Don't reject it. When a person rejects the grace of God, this evil will permeate your mind and your heart. And you'll look to want to get rid of the very one who offers you the help that you need, God's grace. In closing, and again in the book of 2 Corinthians, we'll close here, but six and verse two, For he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If I could have every head bowed tonight and every eye closed. I trust that you was able to receive the message that Jesus wanted those in his hometown to receive, but who ultimately rejected it. But it's recorded for us to receive. Don't reject it. Seek out and receive the grace of God. Father, we bow before you, and again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Thank you for your lessons, the teachings that you have recorded for us in this Bible, and how important it is for us to understand this dispensation of grace and the importance of receiving your grace in every area of our lives. Pray that you just continue to help our people to look to you and be blessed. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.